You have to keep an open mind when it comes to the things of God. Okay? Because a lot of times we hear our traditions and we hear what other people say and we will fasten on it and we will lock it in. And then when God comes along with the truth, because we are locked in on what we've heard other people say, even if it's a whole lot of people, we'll miss God. See, a lot of times, just because a whole bunch of people says the same thing all the time, it doesn't mean that's what God says. Okay. So we have to make sure that we start there. Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. We're going to start there. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. And I'm going to start the first verse. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go on and come back. 2 Peter 3 and 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior." Okay? Peter wrote this second epistle to the Jews. Okay? He was the apostle to the Jews, and he's trying to stir them up because what I'm going to be talking about is the scoffers. There's a lot of scoffers in the world. Okay? A lot of scoffers of the Word of God and the things of God. All right? We must be careful that we don't scoff at these things. Okay? Because they are our life to us. They are our strength to us. God has put them in place, and He wants them to operate in us. See, just not in operation. God wants these things, these principles, to operate in us. Now, before I go any further, go to Isaiah 28 chapter. We'll kind of jump a little bit. First thing I told you was keep an open mind. Okay. Second thing is I'm going to begin to tell you about, since I teach, I'm going to tell you about this Bible that we have. Isaiah 28 chapter, the 10th verse. I say it all the time, but it's important. Isaiah 28:10, it says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." What that means is that this Bible, even though it is in chapter and verse form, we can't take it that way all the time. You have to take it in bits and pieces the way God has portioned it out. What I'm talking about is if you go over to Israel, they still have happened. When the Bible was first written, they were written on parchment paper, and they was written in scroll form, and there was no punctuation. There were no chapter and verses, so they just wrote and wrote and wrote, okay? King James comes along, and he puts them in chapter and verse, okay? And a lot of times we think we got to read the chapter. No, God will break down a verse for you, and that'll give you an outline of the chapter. So we have to take it the way he gives it. He's talking about command has been put on command. That's what precept means. Precept upon precept. In other words, to enjoy these things together, to set in order a rule, a measuring line. God measures this out, this word out to us. Here a little and there a little. Amen. Okay? He measured it out to us. So in other words, a lot of people, well, I got to go home and read five chapters. If you can't retain it, one verse would be better than the five chapters, in other words. Okay, one verse will be better than the five chapters. It's not about how much you get in, okay? It's about how much you retain. Yes. That's what this is all about. Now, let's go back to Peter. Go back to Peter. Now, we're talking about the scoffers. Those people who scoff at the things of God. Once again, he's saying that he's writing this to him, to them that say they love God. In both of these epistles, because he wrote two of them, to stir them up, to stir their sincere minds up by remembrance, okay? That they be remindful of the words that were spoken by the prophets and the commandments of the apostles about Christ our Lord and Savior. Now, knowing this first, that in these last days are going to come scoffers walking after their own lust. We're going to talk about two types of scoffers, okay? And they're saying here, you know, a lot of folks that we talk about Christ, and they say, well, when is he coming back? You keep talking about this Jesus. The Jews are saying, well, where is he? Because he ain't never showed up when he's already been here. Okay? The scientists are saying, where's this Jesus you're talking about? These last days, these people are walking according to their own feelings, their own desires. Say, but where is this coming? It says things ain't changed since the beginning of time. Nothing's changed. We ain't got to worry about this God. They keep talking about he's coming. We ain't got to worry about this. Or verse again, he says, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, or since they died, all things continue the same way they were from the beginning of creation. Go to Genesis. First chapter. God's going to show them that things have changed. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven. Notice there's no S on that. The heaven and the earth. Okay? He's separating them here for a purpose. In the beginning, God, that word God translates to Jesus, the second of the Godhead. Remember now, in the Old Testament, it was Hebrew. In the New Testament, it is Greek. All right. They changed it and translated it into English for us. So when you see that word God in the Old Testament, it's talking about Jesus. His name, if you want to say a Hebrew name, Joshua will be considered Jesus. Joshua, the salvation of Jehovah. So God here created. Jesus created. He created everything. He formed everything. Everything formed in him and passed out from him. Now when they're talking about created, they're talking about the word, Hebrew word is bara, and it implies perfection. It implies beauty. Now, because I'm going to read this and I'm going to come back. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Once again, let's go back to the creator. We'll take my time here. It's talking about the word means to carve. It means to plane. It means to polish. What I'm trying to relate to you is the fact that when he created the earth, it was not a dead planet.
All right now.
It was not a dead planet. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right. Second verse, and the earth was without form. That now, when we read that in English, and the earth was without form, that means that sounds like God created it without form. The word was means became, and the earth became without form. And void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, let's go back to Peter, and we're going to show you why this happened. Go to Peter, 2 Peter 3, 5. It says, for this, they're talking about, once again, that last verse I read was talking about nothing's changed since the beginning of creation. And this, it says, fifth verse, this, they were willingly ignorant of. To be willingly ignorant means that they did not want to know the truth. Folks don't want to know the truth about this thing. They're talking about, not the disease scoffers, I'm talking about is the people that talk about evolution. Okay? Let's go on. It says that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. God created, we go back to the heaven. God created the universe. Added the earth. Now, the earth became without form. Now, it says, by this here, it's talking about God created the heavens and the earth. The earth consisted of water just like it does now. Earth coming out of the water. In other words, it did not start where it was completely covered with water. Sixth verse, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Okay? That world included the dinosaurs. All of those dinosaurs that they got on the History Channel included that. That's where that came from. Okay? All of the fossils, when we see them digging up, they're digging up fossils and all that stuff. So what I'm trying to relate to you, they want to say that the earth is only 6,000 years old. No, it is not. It is millions of years old.
Yeah, come on, man. Right.
The current heavens and earth from now, from Adam, are over 6,000 years old. But this planet is older than that. That's where all these dinosaurs were. Now, there was a man that lived back there, too. Man was created back there. Okay? He was part of this that was destroyed. And you see him, y'all seen him, all of us have seen him in the science class. Y'all all seen that chart where you see the man, he starts bent over like this. He looks like a monkey and he takes the steps, and at the end of the chart, he's standing up tall. That's where they say evolution comes from. That they want to say that man started from nothing and look how great he is.
Yeah, yeah.
God's saying the exact opposite. Right. I started him on top and he began to bend over and become animalistic. And that's why God washed him away.
Man. All right.
That's why God washed him away. There was nothing left from that. Not only that, now we go back. We're jumping back and forth here. Okay, and the earth was formed and was born, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The darkness was limited to the planet Earth only, because you heard theories where some kind of way Lucifer, when he got kicked out of heaven and when he got thrown down the earth, that's what destroyed everything. That it had nothing to do with it. God was interested in destroying evil. So he destroyed them, caused the earth to be over flooded with water, and then put everything in darkness. Why? Because when he put it in darkness, what happened to the planet? Everything froze.
Yes.
Why is that? Because you've got animals right now that live in the deep trenches of the oceans that don't need any light. They generate their own. Okay? And they would still be living. But since God was interested in destroying everything, he covered it with darkness. Now, how he did it, we don't know. Some say he sent a comet and all that kind of stuff, and that created a nuclear winter. We don't know. All we know is that God completely destroyed everything in that world.
Right.
Covered it in darkness, everything froze. Because if it was sunlight, you remember that it was around Valentine's Day, we had that super cold. I was outside, and you know what I saw in the midst of all that ice? I saw water. I saw the sunlight melting that, even in that cold.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why God put everything in darkness. Sixth verse again, in Peter, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, our creation, where we begin, is, and the Spirit of God, this is back in Genesis again, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. He began to thaw things out. He began to let the waters go back where they were. He began to separate the waters from the waters. What does that mean? He showed me that. I was down at Belle Isle. Tony used to, and his mom used to see me down there a lot of times studying on Saturday. And I asked the Lord, what does that mean, Lord, to separate from the waters from the water? I was at Belle Isle. He said, what's that out there? And I was looking at the Detroit River. He said, that's water. He said, now look up. What do you see? I said, I saw clouds. He said, that's water. God put an envelope of air in between so that he separated the clouds from the liquid. See, God, when he made stuff, he don't have to change the description of it. We have to make the description and say water or ice or steam so that we understand what it is. He made it where the temperature don't mean anything to him. So he calls water, water. We have to figure out what he's saying. That's why it's important for you to understand. When you get a buster, get you a Greek concordance and a Hebrew concordance.
Yeah.
So that you can, if you truly want to understand it, okay. He said, if you truly want to understand it, that's what you need, so that you understand how God did things and how God moved. So now, these folks that's talking about that he created it, boy, and all that, let's give some proof. Let's give some proof. He did not create it, boy. Go to Hebrews. I'm sorry, not Hebrews, Isaiah. Isaiah 45. Because God's going to give some proof on what he intended when he created the earth. Isaiah 45 and 18. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
It says, for thus saith the Lord. This is talking about Jehovah, the eternal one, the immutable one, the one who cannot change, the one who had a relationship with everything that Jesus created. He is the covenant God. He formed a covenant with everything that his son created. Amen. And he's saying right here, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He fashioned it, he formed it, he made it, and established it. He says he created it not in vain. In other words, he did not create it empty. He did not create it a wasteland. He did not create it for a void, but he formed it to be inhabited. And it was inhabited. All of those dinosaurs, and they call him prehistoric man, but he wasn't prehistoric, because when God created, just like the man Adam, the man was perfect.
Amen.
The man was perfect until he found iniquity in himself, just like the man Adam. Now, once again, we walk offer a little proof. In the second chapter of Peter, it talks about Noah's time. What was different from Noah's flood? There was no darkness, number one, and eight people survived, as well as the animals in the ark, because God told them to preserve those animals. So things were preserved differently than the flood at the beginning. Come on and give God some praise.
All right.
What I'm telling you is about, teaching you is about the everlasting gospel. And it says that God is worthy to be worshipped by all the creatures of the earth, and that we are not to put anything or any idea or any person in front of him, because God alone made all the heavens and the earth, and not man, not man's evolution. Come on and give God some praise. Also, we're not going to turn there, but if you look in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 9th verse, it talks about God being Ancient of Days. Now, the scripture says, the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. So that means, now we've just talked about Adam's time, so that's just 6 days. In other words, from the time Adam was created till now, that's only 6 days, 6,000 years.
Right.
He says he's the Ancient of Days.
Right.
Six is not ancient.
Right.
Six is nothing. When you bring a 6-year-old and put a 60-year-old, what's ancient about six? What's old about six? God is trying to let you know that he is the one who created all things. He is the maker of all things. Amen. And if you tie yourself to him, God will preserve you just like he preserved Noah and his people. Come on and give God some more praise.
Amen.
Come on and give him some praise.
Yeah,
we're going back to Peter again. Stay there for a while. 7, he says, but the heavens, 7th verse, 2 Peter 3, 7, says, but the heavens and the earth which are now, when God said let there be light and all of that, he said, by that same word are kept in store. They are treasured up. This earth is treasured up. God is holding it. I don't care what's going on. You got all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the earth, but God is still in control.
Amen.
In other words, he's the one that determines man's fate. You may be in an accident and leave here early, but if you are with God, he still controls your fate. He controls your destiny. That's why you can walk out of your home at any time. You just trust God. Now, let's be for real. You still have to look out now, because
right.
You know folks is lurking. You still have to look out. Let's be for real. We ain't come out running around here and you know running into what they used to call a phone booth, and we come out with an S on our chest and all that kind of silly stuff. You still have to look out. But if you look out, God is looking also for you, and he will keep you in spite of what's going on. That's why I'm not worried about, they talking about the terrorists all over the place. I'm not worried about the terrorists. I'm not worried about anything. Why? Because my God, who made the heavens and the earth, and they are still the same today. God's got, let me tell you something. He's got, look at the galaxy. They look like pinwheels over some child's bed. He holds all of that in power. He holds all of that in store. Nothing flies off unless he wants it to fly. Man, talk about canceling gravity. They can't cancel the constant that God has put in operation. They can't cancel the blessings that God got for your life. All you got to do is stand firm on this word that holds up the heavens. earth which are now are kept in store. The word of God holds them. Now they reserve for fire. Twice God has flooded the earth. In the beginning and in Noah's time. He's not going to do that anymore. They reserve for fire unto a day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. In other words, that's a man doomed to eternal misery. When God created the heavens, he did not intend for man to go to the lake of fire. He did not intend for man to die. Man is created. In fact, now even the science says that the man is created biologically to live forever. But what they cannot see is the spiritual aspect of it. When the man sinned, he created death. God didn't create it. He created. So when you die, you go to what your ancestor created. God don't take you. God receives you. Because how many folks can blame God for killing their mom or killing their dad? God don't take them. God receives them at the end. Sometimes we say, well, why are they letting them suffer? Because God is not a killer like that. Now, God will destroy in judgment. But when you got life in you, God put that life in you. He is Zoe life, and he can't take it away from you. So we just have to hold on and pray for those individuals that they release and let themselves go. Come on and give God some more praise. Amen. God said he's going to come back and judge these folks. So don't get it twisted. Just because he ain't bust through the eastern sky yet, folks talking about he ain't coming, and he hasn't showed up yet. 1,000 years is as one day of the Lord. God is not bound by time like we are. God made time and space and put us in it. He said the worlds were framed. In other words, he made the ages. And it's not like the ages is not like trees where you got a tree and the acorn falls and it falls in the ground and grows up. This is what an age is like. It's like this picture. God created a picture. He put everything in it for that time and then he framed it. So nothing could get in or out.
Wow. Come on,
man. And then when he wanted the next age, because there's many ages, he created another picture. And he framed it and put everything that he wanted to be in it, and nothing can get in or out. That's how great your God is. Now we're going to turn the corner. We talked about the scientists. Now we're going to talk about some of us. Go to 2 Peter. 2:1. Don't scoff at the word of God. If you don't answer it, if you don't understand it, keep your mouth shut until God shows you.
Amen.
And that goes in everything. I'll give you an example while you're turning the page. A lot of times when the senior pastor put things in operation, I don't understand it. And it may seem strange, but I don't say, man, he don't know what he's doing. A lot of times, that's what folks are like, oh, he don't know what he's doing. He put the wrong person in. I learned to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
And then God will show me, oh, that's what he's doing. God will show you, but you have to keep yourself in a position where you, not emotionally, you can't allow your emotions to dictate to you.
Amen.
That's what's happening. See, that's what the enemy does. And I'm not talking about the devil, I'm talking about your flesh. Your flesh will cause you to be emotional about things, and what that does is that clouds your judgment so that God can't get in and explain things to you. God's like your doctor. You go in the doctor's office, the doctor's cool and calm, and he's explaining this and that, and blah, blah, this and that. That's what God is with us. Okay? He's trying to make sure that we understand what's going on. So then we can, then you can get excited later. Okay? But you can't allow your emotion. Now, let's see. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people. These are the different group of scoffers. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. I was getting ready to prepare a message one time, and this scripture came up. I think I told some of y'all this. Some of y'all haven't heard this. And I read that verse. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people. And it was like I was in the doctor's office, standing before an x-ray machine. And my chest turned blue. And the Lord said, son, is that in you? Is that falseness in you? When the word prophet, don't get tripped up on the word prophet. The prophet means a spokesperson for God.
Yes.
That's what a prophet is. That means any person in here who knows God as Savior is a spokesman for him. Don't get into with the gift of prophecy. That's different. There are some that have a gift of prophecy. Well, they flow, especially Pastor Ralph. He flows in the gift of prophecy. That talks about foretelling. God will give him something to say to you personally. Personal prophets. But a prophet could be anyone. But these people started out right, but then all of a sudden they became false. And even there's, like I say, there's false teachers everywhere. They'll pop up, all of a sudden they'll pop up and start spouting. I'm like, wow, where'd that come from? So there'll be even false teachers among you bringing in privately or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. How do you deny the Lord? When you go against his word.
Amen.
I don't have to say, I'm denying the Lord. That's what folks do. Oh, it'll be you loud. I'm denying him. No, you aren't. When God says, pay your tithes, and I say, I ain't got to. I'm denying the Lord.
Come on now.
When God says, fail not to assemble yourself, you know, you're not working, you ain't doing nothing, you're laying up in bed, we're supposed to be in God's house. That's denying the Lord.
Amen.
God says that you're supposed to love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Anybody who you contact. I ain't got to love them. I ain't got to put up with them. That's denying the Lord.
Amen.
That's being false. Okay? And they bring them in. And these are heresies of destruction. They will destroy you. Going against the word of God will destroy you. Now, we were talking in the Bible class about the old covenant. See, in the old covenant, you didn't have no protection. You had grace as long as you obeyed the word of God. When you messed up, you got popped. God would pop you. Okay? And that was the end of you. Here, we get a chance. Sometimes we get 100 chances. Okay? And I'm just being honest with you. Some of us do that stuff deliberately and ask God to forgive us.
Right. Amen.
We do it deliberately. And the grace of God, which flows right now, covers us. But you can't stay in that situation. You can't, in other words, you can't die in that situation. Because if you die, then you're in trouble. Ain't no praying for you once you leave here. Folks, am I praying for folks? Your praying better be doing on this side.
Right. Amen.
Once you leave, you done crossed that tracks. And you are done. He said, for it is given unto man to die one time. No reincarnation, no do-overs.
Right. Amen.
No do-overs. Folks, about you come back. You come back as a mom, because my mom, before we got there, my mom was like, what's reincarnation? Oh, you down here now, and the next time you'll come back as a horse, or you'll come back, you know, some other kind of way. No, God said, one time. You get to do it one time. Okay? One, you have to get it right the first time. Now, let's continue on with this. He says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by the reason or by reason of whom the way, the truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, they will come and tell you that you don't have to do these things and you'll be all right. They're scoffing at the word of God.
Amen.
And they're forgetting that it is God who created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
They're forgetting that God put everything in its place, that all of these things are in order by God. I didn't bring nothing here. I didn't bring nothing into this world, and when I leave here, I'm not taking nothing out. Okay? If I leave here, then somebody's going to have to put some clothes on this. Somebody's going to have to put some clothes on this. You dead. You can't move. Somebody has to put some clothes on this and put me in the box. So you don't take nothing with it. I don't take nothing with it. So we don't get it twisted about that. Okay? These folks are saying these things. If you follow their way, they're carnal-minded. Okay? Carnal-minded. What people do is they try to take the word of God and they mix what they think and they feel. They mix it together and try to operate on it.
Right.
You can't do it.
Amen.
God says to be carnal-minded, to mix yourself. In other words, I feel like I'm going to do this. Now, the Word of God says something else, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And because I'm born again, God's going to rubber stamp it. Not going to rubber stamp it. He says he's no respecter of persons. If Jesus had to obey the Word, then so do you.
Amen.
See, Jesus paid tithe. Jesus was in the church house when he was supposed to be there. Jesus was in, and Jesus was taught. Remember, he was human. Until the Spirit of God came upon him and that Word became alive in him, Jesus was in the temple being taught. Folks think they don't have to be taught anymore. You have to obey all of the Scripture. And it says, through covetousness, through the position that they gain, they shall, with profane words or empty words, make merchandise out of you. They're trading you off. They're trading you off. You have to be careful of who and what you're listening to.
Yes.
When I hear a word of God, I start examining it. I can say, Mr. The amen and the hallelujah, I want to make sure I got that word right. Because there's been a lot of times I've been up, in that seat where you all are and heard something. I'm like, that didn't sound right. Didn't sound right. You have to make sure that what you're hearing is of the Word of God. It's up to you. This book is your life. This book is your insurance policy. This is your life insurance. Now, we got a job and they give us life insurance as a benefit. This is your benefit. You've got to know God has given it to you. Why? Because he's invested himself in you. If you're a born-again believer, God has invested his Spirit in you. And he will make you able to understand this
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Anybody can understand it. I always say, my friend over there, he's talking about, all right, But he's just teasing like that. But anybody can understand this word. Anybody. All you got to do is open it up and ask the Lord. Now, if you don't have one and you're in the church like I was, I told the Lord I had been here, I had been saved for a long time. And I said, Lord, I don't know your word. Teach me. God opened the door. He opened the door. Sometimes I was the only one in the class, Pastor, tell you. But I wanted to know the things of God because they said, you're going to live eternally someplace. You're not just going to die and be in a grave. You're going to live eternally someplace. You got to figure out where you're going. This book tells you where you're going. Pastor Rutherford was talking about the blueprint. And he was using a car for example. And this blueprint has got safeguards in it.
Yes. Amen.
To keep you from falling. It's got safeguards in it to keep you healthy. It's got safeguards in it to keep you blessed. Okay? But if you override the safeguards, it's just like driving a car with no oil in it. You're going to blow the engine. Sooner or later, you're gonna blow it.
Amen.
Don't blow your engine. Remember who your God is.
Amen.
And that he's the creator of all things. Now, let's continue on. Go to the 18th verse in 2 Peter. It says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure themselves through the lust of the flesh and through much wanton. In other words, they're saying that these folks, a lot of folks, let me tell you something. A lot of folks, sometimes sinners, when you begin to tell them about Christ, they begin to tell you about scriptures and all that kind of stuff. Because why? Because they don't want to hear what you're saying. Other folks that don't want to be taught or don't be instructed, they'll start talking about Jesus. Okay? Just because an individual begins to talk about Jesus does not mean they know what they're talking about.
Come on now. Amen. Explain.
A lot of folks get up and begin to just start saying stuff. And they'll throw Jesus in there and they think they're doing something. They ain't did nothing. They speak for a great swelling word. And God says what the words are number one, is disappointing misery because they're involved with their own illumination. Okay? Number two, it's devoid of truth and appropriateness. And number three, it's lacking vigor. In other words, when somebody tells you something from God that is true, it's supposed to spark something in.
Right.
Now, that don't mean you're supposed to be jumping, or you know, maybe you'll jump all over the walls and start shouting and all that stuff. But it's supposed to resonate in you because it's the truth of God.
Amen.
Your spirit and the word of God are the same. It's going to resonate and let you know it's true. And if it don't, I've heard some words, and all of a sudden it's felt like somebody's wringing my spirit out with a dish rag. You know how you wring a rag out when it's full of water? Whatever that was, God didn't let it enter in because it wasn't a lie. It wasn't the truth. You got to make sure that you're hearing the truth. And while they're promising you freedom, they themselves are bound, okay, because they're not with corruption, because they're not obeying the word. Pastor was talking about folks that, you know, think it's all right to be that other lifestyle and be in the church, that God didn't put his rubber stamp on it. No, he has not. God has not put his rubber stamp on sin. God's not going to have anything to do with sin. So what we have to do is we have to make sure we're covered by the word of God. We're covered by it. It's important that you do that. Okay? Now that don't mean that every time, you know, sometimes we can't make it to church, but you can open up your Bible. You can communicate with God through prayer. Okay? You can communicate with him. Sometimes the way it's now is now, they don't, you know, the bosses don't care nothing about Sunday. It's just another day to them.
Right.
And they'll tell you, God understands.
Right.
Let me tell you something. No, he don't understand. Okay? And if you can make it to church and don't make it, he don't understand why you can't come and give him praise.
Amen.
He don't understand why you can't give him his tithes when he gonna bless you back.
Right.
He don't understand when you get out of line. He don't understand that. I'll give you a perfect example. When Moses was up there receiving the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel down there with Aaron and the calf, God told me, he said, go down there and get your people. So God was done with him just that quick. Go, Moses, go get your people. Go get them. God was done with him. He don't understand that. He don't understand. He's not going to poo-poo it. He's not going to rubber stamp our bad behavior.
Right.
So make sure that when you tell somebody something, it's based on scripture, not based on your feelings. Because it's not going to give forth any life.
Right.
Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
He said they were clean at one time. Okay? We escaped what we were in. God, through salvation, has made a way of escape for us. 20th verse, it says, for if after they have escaped or escaping the infections of this world through the knowledge of God, they are now entangled again. Why? Because they are not obeying the truth. That's how you get tangled back up in stuff. They're overcome. And the latter end is worse than the first. In other words, you were a sinner, you get saved, you're going along good, and all of a sudden you decide you're going to do things your own way, and then you get back entangled again, and the last state is worse than the first. Don't get caught. Don't be a scoff. Hear the word of God, and God will explain it to you. It may take time. Okay, a lot of things, the questions I asked when I was a child, I had to wait till I got here for God to answer. But he answered them. If you stay faithful to God, God will stay faithful to you.
Right.
21st verse, it said, it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness at all, you know, than for them to start at it, know it through participation, and then turn back from it. But it has happened to them according to the proverb. The dog has returned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mire. I'm closing with this. Don't get it twisted. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. Let me tell you something. Some of the stuff God then rescued me from, even after I got saved, some of it through foolishness. Okay? Be acting a fool. Okay? Because we Christians can act a fool. Okay? We're not exempt. All right? You know, when you get saved, that doesn't mean perfection. When God talks about perfect, he's talking about being a grown-up. Okay? As opposed to a child. You know how a child does. Child get up and run around when he's supposed to be sitting down. He's sitting in the bed. He get out of bed. He's playing in the room instead of laying in the bed. All of that kind of stuff. Okay? God expects us to grow up. Grow up in the things of God. And that way he will preserve us. The same way God has preserved this universe. This universe ain't going nowhere. You know, and one last thing. The scoffer said that, you know, because they some kind of way they think that the universe is on this thing of expansion and contraction. It just expands and contracts. God, when he does things, God, when he causes things to grow, they just keep growing.
Right, right. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the universe didn't pass. They didn't figure out the universe that passed the point where it can contract now.
Amen.
God showing himself great. Let me tell you one more thing.
Help yourself, brother.
God is still reproducing in this universe. Talking about life to come in. There was a man of God that came here, and I've seen the picture he was talking about a new star being born. And in the picture of the star was Jesus holding a lamb.
Come on now.
God still created.
Amen.
God still, this is his universe.
Amen.
Ain't nothing going to happen to it until God gets ready.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. If you want more time, if you hold yourself a part of God's word, the same word that holds the heavens and the earth together in its spot, the earth's not going to move. The moon is going to stay in its orbit. Why? Because God in his infinite power put it there. It's going to be there when Jesus comes back. Let me tell you something. If you hold yourself in the hands of the word of God that created the heavens and the earth, God will preserve you. God will keep your family. God will bless you on your job. God will bless you in your home. God will make your path straight. He'll make the crooked places straight. He'll make the high places low. And he'll raise up the valley where you in. Because he's the omnipotent one. He's all powerful. He's almighty. And he is all loving. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand to their feet. Glory to God. Come on, give God some praise. That's the everlasting God. That he's God all by himself, and there's no other God beside him. Can't nobody stand beside the Almighty. Woo! Can't nobody stand beside the Almighty, the immutable one, the one who don't change. The one who was all powerful in the beginning, and he's still all powerful right now. He's still saving. He sent Jesus, which is the salvation of Jehovah, into all of our lives. He's still there, blessing and keeping. Come on and give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
That created the heaven and the earth. Even before man was started off, I had created things and made them to exist. Anything that was created that exists was created for me, saith the Lord. Therefore, knoweth this, my children, that if I created in the beginning, I can create even now for you. For even those things which you have been calling out for, calling my name upon, I shall do these things for you to show you my omnipotence, my greatness, and my authority and dominion over all things. Therefore, glorify me. As you glorify me, I'll glorify you, saith the Lord. I'll glorify you by blessing you with those things that you have need of. I search the intents of a man's heart because I place that heart there, saith God. So in the case that I search your heart, I'll know what you have need of. So in the midst of your worship, call unto me, saith the Lord, and I will answer your prayer, and I shall show you great and mighty things that you have never heard, never seen before. For I am the creator of all things, and if anything was created, it was created by me, for me, saith God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the beginning and the end. God, you included all things from the beginning to the end, including us, Lord God. Father, you sent a way of an escape for us. God, when we got in the wrong place and the wrong attitude, God, you sent another to rescue us and to save us. You sent the instruction. God, this was the pattern that we must follow. For if we don't follow this pattern, God, we'll never make it. But if we hold fast to the profession of that pattern, Lord God, we'll make it through everything that confront us and behold before us, oh Lord God, to try to destroy us. God, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundant. So if we hold on to your unchanging hand, we got life and we got it more abundantly. Our God, for you are the way, Jesus. You said, I am that way. I am the truth and I am the life. And no man coming unto the Father except through you. Jesus, when you died on that cross and hung your head and said, it is finished, and you were seen of men, and then you was glorified, you was raised up, and you presented the gift to the Father. Our God, if we hold on to your unchanging hand, God, we're going to be that gift that's going to be presented unto the Father, that we be his family once again. God, we thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for your instructions and your direction, Lord God. And we give you all the praise, down in the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Glory to God. This offering time, come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah.